to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." You may be seated. So Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he was going around all of Galilee. And I've got a map here. There it is. Wow, you can't really see it. But this is the area of Galilee, right here. And synagogues were placed all over the area where the Israelites lived. Galilee was one of those areas that the Israelites lived, and Nazareth was just to the north of this, where it says Galilee. It's actually in Galilee. And so Jesus was preaching in all of these synagogues in Galilee, and everybody who heard him was just amazed at his power. They were amazed at his authority. They were amazed at the words that he spoke. They were just amazed at his understanding and wisdom. They were amazed at Jesus Christ. Then Jesus decided he needed to go to his hometown and preach. It's where he grew up, in Nazareth. And that's where his family lived. That's where his friends lived. That's where his acquaintances lived. And I can imagine where, when Jesus was going to approach Nazareth and the synagogue there, and by the way, the synagogue was made up of Jewish individuals, men and women. There had to be at least 10 Jewish men to have a Jewish synagogue. But Gentiles were welcome to come in as well. And so when Jesus was going to Nazareth, I can imagine him wanting them to really receive what he had to say. What he had to say, he felt was, he knew was very important. As he was going there, he really didn't know if he was, well, he probably knew because the Holy Spirit told him. But it was not his choice of whether or not he got to speak. The one who was over the synagogue actually gave permission to different Jewish men to speak at the time. And so Jesus comes in, and they give him the book of Isaiah. And so he opens the book, and he begins reading this passage of Scripture. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The Lord has anointed me. And today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." How do you think the people in Nazareth responded to his message? They didn't really like him saying that. They knew him. Knew him as a kid, knew him growing up, knew his family. Well, that's the son of Joseph. And so they kind of foo-fooed the idea. If you read on the rest of the chapter, actually, he made them so mad they wanted to kill him. And he was able to, they actually surrounded him, and he disappeared and kind of just walked through the midst of them, and they weren't able to accomplish what they wanted to accomplish. They really didn't want to receive what he had to hear. But he said, I came for many reasons, and because this is not, I'm not going to be able to finish today, we're going to continue it next week. Okay? But two of the things I want to mention today is, first thing he came to do is he came to preach the gospel to the poor. Do you know what the gospel is? If you don't get that, then you don't get a lot of other things, because everything, all of the treasures of heaven are wrapped up in Jesus. Okay? All the treasures of heaven are wrapped up in Jesus. And if you don't get the gospel, then you don't get the treasures of heaven. Now, I'm not saying that if you don't get Jesus, he can't heal you of the broken heart. He can still do that. But you're not going to get all that God has for you, and I'm going to share a little bit more about that later in the message. So the gospel is this. Jesus Christ came to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on a cross to take away your sin, shedding His blood. He was buried in a tomb and rose again. He rose on the third day. That's the gospel. And if you believe in Him and trust in Him and put your faith in Him, then He will accept you and He will receive you. That's the gospel. And Scripture says that Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. Sorry, I'm having so much trouble. And I wondered, as I was preparing, why did Jesus come to preach the gospel to the poor and not to the rich? Scripture says that it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Did you know that poor people are more responsive and receptive to the gospel? They're more humble. They have more need. Many of you know Larry Hamilton, and he was sharing about ministering over in India, I think it was. And there was a lady there that he passed by. There's this big mansion up on the hill. And then there were these, he passed through this village with dung huts made out of sticks, made out of mud, made out of dung. And they were doing ministry work as medical missionaries. And there was a lady who came up to him who needed some medical assistance. And he said, Did you live in that village we just passed through? She said, yeah, I live in there. He said, how would you like to live in a mansion like up on the hill? She said, oh, well, I would love that. So he began sharing with her how that if she received Christ, she could have a mansion. And that one day, when she would get to heaven, that her name would be over the door of this beautiful mansion, better than the mansion that was setting up on the hill. He said, how would you like that? She said, I would love that. So he led her to Christ. And now, one day, if she hasn't already received her mansion, she's going to have a mansion. People who are poor have the ability to receive. They want to receive the good news. More so, probably, than those who are wealthy, because the wealthy have everything they need, except for the most important things. Except for the most important things. And so Jesus has said, I've come to preach good news to the poor. Of course, he tried to share Christ with the rich men as well, but there was a rich young ruler he tried to share with, and he turned away, and Scripture says that he went away very sad. Okay? He couldn't receive it. So one of the things that Jesus came to do was to preach the gospel to the poor. The second thing he came to do is he said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. I spoke about this briefly last Sunday, but I thought I would spend a little bit more time on it today. Things in our past can cause a broken heart. I've spoken, as many of you know, I was counselor out at the Union Gospel Mission for 5 years for people with addictive behaviors. I learned a lot from them. And there are stories I could tell you after story that would break your heart. Things that they had been through. Parents taking children's cat and putting it in a bag and slamming it against a tree while the child watches. You know, you say, well, you lose a cat, that's no big deal. Well, it is a big deal. To people who love cats, it is a big deal to a 5-year-old who loves cats. You may find your dog, your favorite dog, your favorite pet, get ran over. It's a heartbreaking experience. And for us as adults, we look at that and that may be a minor thing to us, but to a child, that's very serious, that's very big, that's very huge in our life. And as parents, we never need to downplay what they're feeling. Okay? We need to understand where they are and empathize with them where they are in their loss. And see, if the Jesus doesn't intervene, they will carry that loss and they will carry that broken heart throughout their life. And what happens with a person with a broken heart, and I mean, broken heart can be because of separation. It can be because of a divorce of parents. It can be because of adultery on the part of a spouse. It can be because of a lot of different things. A broken heart can manifest itself in us. And if we're not careful, what we do then is that we just shut down and we don't want to get near anyone because we're afraid we might get hurt again. Or we start beginning to build walls so that nobody can get in. And we're unable to have a relationship with individuals because we've got these walls up. What Jesus is saying is, I came to heal the brokenhearted. And if you're brokenhearted, then that's why I'm here. You know, I can imagine in my mind's eye, Jesus in heaven, and his father saying to Jesus, Jesus, son, when you get to earth, there are certain things I want you to do. And one of the things I want you to do is I want you to heal the brokenhearted. You have been commissioned to heal the brokenhearted. Son, will you heal the brokenhearted? Yes, Dad. I will do that. I will heal the brokenhearted. That's one of the things Jesus said I came to do. That's one of the things the Father commissioned him to do. That's one of the things he said I had the power to do, was to heal the brokenhearted. See, not only does our past cause us brokenheartedness, but did you know that a person can be living in a situation right now that breaks their heart on a daily basis? It just keeps breaking and breaking and breaking and breaking and breaking. And they're living in this situation they can't get out of. And daily, they're living in this brokenness. Hurtful words can cause a broken spirit. Did you know that? Of course you did. Hurtful words can cause a broken spirit. And so separation can cause a broken spirit. Family members who won't speak to you can cause a broken spirit. Can cause sorrow of the heart. And did you know Jesus cares? He cares. He cares what you're going through. He cares what you're experiencing. He knows what you're experiencing. And he said to each of you, one of the reasons I came to this earth, the first message he spoke to his hometown crowd, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Wow. I'm sure there were people in that crowd who needed their hearts mended. I know there were. But you know what they did? Rather than allowing him to heal their heart, they just kind of like, they just got a little tighter. They just got a little more stern with themselves. I'm not going to let Jesus in. So I want to share with you how Jesus heals the broken. You need to know that he can, but you also need to know the how. Okay? So let me share with you how. But first, before I go there, I want to read to you out of... So he was reading out of Isaiah. Isaiah 61. And he did, and he was reading verses 1 and 2, and he kind of quit in a half of verse 2. But I want to read to you verses 1, 2, and 3. Okay? So, Isaiah 61, 1, 2, and 3 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And this is where he stopped. But it goes on to say, "And the day of vengeance of our God." He says, here's what I want to do to those who are mourning. I want to tell you, this is what I want to do to those who are brokenhearted and do for those. I want to comfort all who mourn. I want to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. How would you like for your joy, I'm sorry, for your mourning and your brokenheartedness to be turned into joy? And the garments of praise, trees of righteousness, beauty for ashes. How would you like for your broken heart to be turned to beauty and joy and righteousness? That's what Jesus said. Not only am I going to heal your broken heart, but I want to give these wonderful gifts to you in exchange. I call it the great exchange. This is the way we do it. Number one. First thing you have to do is confess or tell the Lord that you have a broken heart. Okay? You have to be honest with him. You remember last week we told you that the truth will set you free? Remember that? You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, if you deny it, if you just say, I'm good, I'm holding it together, then the Lord says, okay, if you're fine, then you don't need me. So the first thing we have to do is to tell God that we have a broken heart. Scripture says that a broken and a contrite heart God will not despise. So if you're brokenhearted, tell the Lord. So here's the deal. You need to tell him everything that's going on in your heart. You tell him of your loss. You tell him of your grief. You tell him of your sorrow. And you need to spend time grieving at your loss. Okay? You need to give yourself time to grieve. Give yourself time to grieve and allow the Lord to begin to minister to you. God has given us a heart so that we can grieve. But if we don't allow ourselves to grieve, then we're not going to be able to receive the healing that God has for us. So tell Him of your pain. What's the second one there, TJ? So you tell Him why. Tell Him why you have a broken heart. What has caused your broken heart? And the next one. This is a very difficult thing. Is to remember the pain, embrace the pain. Okay? Because here's the deal. If you can't, many people are afraid to feel the pain. And if you don't feel the pain, you can't trust the Lord with the pain. So He can only heal you to the degree that you're willing to feel the pain. Usually women are better at feeling the pain than men are. And women can get finished with their brokenness a whole lot sooner than men can, because men, usually it's just by increments that they allow the Lord to heal a little portion, then they're maybe a little more, then a little more, a little more. But women just kind of let it all out. They feel the pain. And so that's very important, that you feel the pain so that you can trust the Lord with the pain. Okay? You have to embrace the pain. You have to feel the pain so that you can have the healing from the Lord. The next one is, you need to tell Jesus everything. Tell Him everything. Tell Him who you ate. Tell Him how you feel. Tell Him who hurt you. Tell Him about the person who hurt you. Tell Him about everything. Get it out. Vent to God. Talk to Him. And once you do that, then you can release it. Release the individual who hurt you by forgiving them. Release the pain. Scripture says, cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. A lot of times I myself, or I teach others to just hope, put everything in their hand, lift it up to the Lord and say, Lord, will You retake this from me? Take all this pain from me. And then allow the Lord to heal your heart. Ask for Him to heal you and to restore to you your health, restore to you. What's the next one, TJ? So receive healing and restoration. Receive it from the Lord. For those of you who are in situations where every day you're getting your heart broke, the Lord wants you to come near Him. Come near, because that's the only place you're going to get help. That's the only place you're going to get comfort. And according to God's Word, He wants to give you joy. He wants to exchange what you're feeling inside with joy. He wants to exchange what you're feeling inside with trees of righteousness. He wants to exchange what you are feeling inside with beauty rather than ashes. So this morning, as we close, two things I need to ask of you. One is, have you ever received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you ever embraced Him and given your life to Him? If not, again, you're going to forfeit the treasures of heaven if you haven't done that. And the Lord is inviting you to receive Him. The second thing is, this morning, are you willing? If you have a broken heart today, are you willing to bring that before the Lord and release it to Him?